Good to see everybody here. Probably feel a little surprised, to be honest with you. We have got just a massive amount of people that are gone between vacation, some their third and fourth of the year. Road trips, the fair is still going on. We got a bunch of families at the fair. May it end fast and soon. May they win prizes and get back to the house of God and whatever else. I'm okay. It's all right. They have people get away and have a respite. Amen. Just not too much of one. I want to say, first of all, thank you to everybody over the last week that has called and whatever else, left messages. Just so if you haven't received the information, my mom's funeral, or the calling hours will be Friday at 6 p.m. to 8, and Saturday will be the service at 10 a.m. We'll have another hour of visitation. The service will be at 11. I want to say something, and you might not understand why I'm going to say this, but I understand and God understands, and that's really all that matters. My mom was not better than anybody else. Her death is not more important than anybody else. But I will say this. It's more significant to me because she is a founding member of this church. And it's not just that we lost my mother. It's that she was here from the very beginning. And to me, I don't say this in a personal way, but I think that adds a little bit of merit. And I think that, a special person went home to be with the Lord. For me, it matters. I don't know if anybody other than maybe some of my sisters were here. Are they all here? I don't see them all. Where's Terry? Oh, she's hiding over there. They were there, but I remember, the first day we set up the karaoke machine and my mom was there. And not only was she there, but she stayed here for all these years. There's a lot of times she probably could have given up on me and said, no, thanks, I'm not really interested in all that. And there were some tough times. Pastoring your family is not easy. I'm sure having your son or your brother as your pastor is not easy. And there were some difficult times we worked through. And so, I don't stand here because she's my mom to make you feel like she was more special, but she was to me. And she is, from my perspective to this church, because of her position and her role. And she's better off today, obviously. So I just wanted to say that. Sometimes there's a lot of confusion that happens when things involve the pastor's family. It just does. And Satan always tries to use everything that he can. But, we've not heard anything but good things, just for the record. I've not heard anything bad at all, but I just felt like I wanted to say that. And I wanted to again say thank you. A lot of phone calls over the last week. This is our first Sunday without her, so we appreciate you being here. Amen. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 1. The Lord gave me this scripture. Actually, about a week and a half before my mom passed, and I thought and may still use it, I would use it at her funeral, but I felt led to bring it to you today. I'm going to read the first two verses. It says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come and buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not. Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Now, there's more to it that we'll read, but I want to preach to you on the title, Not All Wells Produce the Same Water. And you praying for us, Carter? Go ahead, if you would, pray for us. Hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, we give you praise. Gracious God, hallelujah. 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 In Jesus' name, amen. Would you give the Lord a hand clap of praise while you're seated? Praise God. The Lord is good all the time. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise God. You can be seated. Growing up for much of our younger lives in Ashtabula County and pastoring here, I can tell you a little bit about wells. Trust me, I can tell you about wells. I've learned some wells have to be drilled deep in order to get water. Some wells you drill shallow in order to get water. Some wells produce a lot of water, some wells a little bit. Some wells regularly run dry, some never run dry. Some wells need water treatment systems, some are just good from the start. Some wells produce drinkable water, and some you can't drink at all. All of the negative ones I have experienced. Running dry, collapsing, not drinkable, not usable at all. It's very important that we understand this because, well, first, the prophet Isaiah gives this invitation to come to the waters. Now, it's just not normal when you say come to the waters, our brain does not begin to rightly divide the word of truth. On our honeymoon in 1998, we were down in Florida for the first time in our life, and we went to the waters. And we rented a jet ski, and we took off out there, out of the bay, and we probably didn't get 150 feet out, and our faces were covered in salt, our mouths were covered in salt. We couldn't see, our eyes were burning, I couldn't. And we turned right around and went back. I knew nothing about salt water, didn't have a clue. And that was the shortest jet ski ride of my entire life. We got back and our hair was just covered in salt and we're trying to get all this junk up. My point was we went to the water. It wasn't a great experience. There are people in Florida and Australia and other parts of the world, they go to the water and unfortunately people have lost their life. In the water. They've lost their life by drowning. People have lost their lives by shark attacks. Kevin, several years back, was in the water and he got stung by a stingray or something, a jellyfish. I don't know what it was. And so when Isaiah makes this invitation to come to the water, it's really important that we understand that it's not possible in lieu of many experiences that others have had in life for this particular trip to be a bad experience. It's a call not just to drink, but yes, to drink, but it's also a call to life and restoration. Water has traditionally been viewed as a vital essential of life. When you go grocery shopping, probably water's at the bottom of your list. Now, some of you might be waterholics, and that might be all you buy, and that's good. The point is, you need water. I don't care how much you like your Starbucks. Praise God. It doesn't matter how much you like energy drinks or Pepsi or Diet Coke. Those things cannot sustain you in your life. If that's all that you drink, you will die. You will wind up in the hospital dehydrated. And if you continue, it cannot go on without water. You can live without pop. You can live without coffee. I've had people say to me, I'd rather die than give up my coffee. Well, if that's all you drink, you're probably going to. Because God made our bodies to rely upon water. You can live without tea, but you cannot live without water. It's not possible. We've lost this understanding because we have become a world that's addicted to taste. You see, many times when people come to a church, they're not looking for life. They're looking for a preacher that they like. They're not looking to drink. They're looking for a music program. They're not looking to rejoice. They're looking at who's there. Do I like the carpet? Do I like that? I don't know if I like this. I don't know if I like him. I don't know if I like those singers. I don't like that kind of music. And we come for all the wrong reasons, not looking for life. Isaiah said, come to the water. Come to the water. Now I'll give some of you a little bit of ammunition that you need to go on your crusade. He didn't say come to church. He said come to water. Come to the water. Now we understand, those of us that love the word and believe it, that the church was established by the Lord, by the apostles. Paul traveled just setting up churches. Because church is essential. It matters. Why? Because here is where we try to trouble the waters so people can get in. This is where the word goes forth in order to try and stir up somebody's heart and their mind to shake the dust from the feet of their life in order to get them to take a trip to the water. And so, the second thing Isaiah says here, he said, why are you spending money for things that are not bread? Now, let me just put this into perspective. I don't want to bore you, but just give me just a moment to try and lay some groundwork. There's one thing that's always driven me crazy as my kids grew up. When they would grab the bag of Doritos and they would just eat the whole bag. It's not that they ate the whole bag of Doritos. It's that their mother was cooking dinner. And I would say, your mom is cooking, but I'm hungry. I want some food. And I say every time, without fail, that's not food. That is Doritos. Doritos and gummy bears and Reese's Pieces cups is not food. Isaiah said, why do you spend money on that which is not bread? He was saying, you might spend money on things you eat, but it will not give you the life that you need. Again, let's give the drinkers a break for a second. If all you eat is Reese's cups, you cannot survive. Your body needs more than that. If all you eat is junk food, whatever that might be. Now, I'm speaking literally, but to share with you metaphorically, there are things that we try to nurture our life with in this world, things that we think will bring us happiness and joy, things that we think will meet the needs that are inside of us, the yearning, as we look and we're striving to find that thing or that relationship that's perfect, or that family that's perfect. It doesn't exist. We make it the best we can make it. But when it comes to the yearning deep from within inside of us, there's nothing that we can spend money on that will satisfy the soul. It may appease the flesh for a season, but it will not and cannot satisfy the soul. He said, why do you labor for that which satisfieth not? Why do you work your life away and yet you're still never fulfilled? Because there's nothing in this life that brings fulfillment the way that God does. Isaiah's invitation was an invitation to life. It was an invitation to understand that there's something here that you can drink, that you can partake, that you can even bathe in, if you please, and bask in, that you cannot find in this life. Now, I know that right now, the majority of the people in this congregation that are proclaimed Christians, and I'm not saying that you're not, they're saying, well, yeah, duh, we understand that. This is nothing new to us. But I'm not quite sure that's true. Because I find a lot of people over the years, they give more of their time in other areas of the things of this world than they do to the house of God, to the things of God. Those make statements. That says that I'm not fully convinced that this is the well I'm supposed to drink from. I might like it. I'll tell you something else that I found too about water and wells. Have you ever gone to somebody's house and they said, would you like something to drink? And you said, no, thank you. No, just anything, you know, a soda or pop or whatever word you use. Or you want some tea or coffee? No, I'm good. Are you sure? I'm good. Sometimes they want you to drink when you're not thirsty. You see, sometimes you get up and you preach and you're trying to get people to drink from this well, but they're not thirsty. Because they have already partaken of too many other things in this life. Their soul is, in their mind, satisfied, but it's really not. Because there's always a longing. There's something there that I'm convinced that you cannot really grasp and understand to the fullest extent until your life is actually drawing to a close. Isaiah understood that all wells do not produce the same water. Genesis 26 and 12, Isaac sowed in the land and received in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. And the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. For he had possessions of flocks, possessions of herds, and great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him. Now, everything the Bible says that Isaac had, there was one thing that was missing. Anybody care to shout it out? Water. He had all this livestock and all this flock. If any of you farmers out there, you should be able to relate to what I'm preaching, because you can have a million head of cattle, but if you have no way to give them water, they're going to all die. They might be worth $10 million, but if you got no way to give them water, they're eventually going to dry and they're going to all die and they're worth nothing. Why? Because you need water to sustain life. Now, I want you to remember that statement, if you would, before I get to the end of this. You need water to sustain life. So you can have possessions, wealth, fame, and still have a well that is dry.
So in verse 18, the Bible says, Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham, and he called their names after the names which his father had called them. One of my favorite passages, because Isaac went and he dug the old wells of his father Abraham that he had dug, and that the Philistines, for envy, had filled those wells in. He didn't try to dig new wells. He wasn't calling the elders in the church to get some couple of sticks and go witch me a well. No, he said, if we can find the wells that my father's dug, he said, I know there's water in those wells. Now hear me for one second. I'm going to tell you the greatest handicap of the church in 2025. Every week someone's trying to dig a new well. Every week somebody's trying to invent a new drink for the church to drink. And we have forgotten that the old wells that our forefathers had dug in the spirit, those are the wells that still have water, and that water still flows. What am I saying to you? Sometimes we got to get off our high horses and go back to the ways of old. Stop calling it the ancient of days. Stop saying, well, we don't live there anymore. We are not in the dinosaur age anymore. I got news for you. Isaac knew that there was water in Abraham's wells, and he had purpose in his heart. We're going to find those wells and dig them out, because hey, listen to me. There are people sitting here, and I feel like the Lord will help me, and some of you won't even give me the courtesy of listening this morning. That's all right. I watch you. I know you. I watch people when I preach. You're all right. Don't worry. Poor girl, I got her all nervous. I didn't mean to do that. I forgot what I was going to say. Your facial expression just messed me all up. I'll get back to it. Don't worry. Just give me a moment. I'm going to talk about my mom for a second. If you don't like it, that's your problem. When my mom was 16, her mother died. She quit school, and I may get some facts a little distorted. I don't remember all of them, but she quit school to go to work to help provide for herself, for the home. So she never had a formal education. She never had a driver's license. Never got her driver's license. My real dad was horribly abusive. Horribly. And when she got married, she dealt with horrible physical abuse. Some of my first memories when I came home from the foster home was the abuse. One of my earliest memories was all of us kids sitting out in the front porch in Cleveland screaming while she was inside. I don't say that for you to feel sorry. I say that for this reason. Somewhere along the way, she found a well. Now, I'm going to say this, and maybe you'll appreciate this statement for reasons other than what I'm thinking, but my mom wasn't a spiritual giant. Everybody wants to go out and talk, and we want to act like all of our loved ones are spiritual giants. The fact of the matter is, they're not. She was a warrior. She fought in the trenches. She didn't seek recognition. She didn't try to do anything to bring recognition. There's a poem that I have that I may read this Saturday. It talks about I'm trying to remember the exact title, but the bravest battles that were ever fought. And they're always fought behind the scenes. Bella, we dedicated your son today.
My mom made the decision to get us on the church bus. They came down Guy Avenue. I don't know what went through her head, but I believe, I don't know if she saw the name of the bus drive by and she inquired. I don't know where all that transpired, but I know this. Something inside of her said, there's a well. And I got to get my kids on that bus. She didn't do anything great, but if getting your children on the church bus every week is the greatest thing you ever do, you've done all that you need to do. You see, we live in a world that seeks recognition and fame, and that's not the way the gospel works. And so, the one thing that she did right, and I don't say the only thing, I mean the main thing that she did right, was she never stopped drinking from that well. No matter how hard, no matter how tiring, no matter what the circumstances were at home, no matter what was falling apart, no matter what was right, no matter what was wrong, every Sunday she made sure that we got to church to drink from the well. Don't tell her church doesn't matter. And now because she drank from that well, I started drinking from the well. When you're young and you're in Sunday school and your kids tell you, let's go, it's time to go to church, and they don't want to come sometimes, that's one thing. And that's good parenting, just for the record. Drag them out. That's all right. But someday they're going to have to decide whether they want to drink from that well all on their own or not. And so because I drank from that well, and then I met a woman who drank from that well, and her parents drank from that well, it was almost inevitable that we would try to teach our kids, hey, there's water in this well that you can drink. It might not always taste the best. It might not always be the most exciting. It might not always have the most glamour attached to it. But there's something about this water that Isaiah talked about. He said, it doesn't cost you anything. It's not going to break the bank, and there's something special about this water. And he made the invitation to drink. So we started teaching our kids about that well. And now she drank from the well, and I drank from the well, and now my kids are drinking from the well. And with God's good graces, and if they'll stay serving the Lord and keeping God first themselves, they'll have children one day that will drink from the well. What am I telling you? There's something about this water that you cannot get in this life. You cannot replace it. You cannot purchase it. And once you begin to drink from it, it births life. And then your family and your seed, your children, your grandchildren, there's a new life that comes from this water that Isaiah invited them to drink from. And that's why when Isaac was looking for water, he did not want to dig any new wells. He did not want to reinvent the wheel. He wasn't trying to wow somebody to get another preaching engagement and come up with some fanatical stuff. No, he said, hey, let's just find the old wells. There's life in the old wells. There's water in the old wells. I know that the cattle can drink in the old wells. I know that we can drink in the old wells. Why? Because my father was a godly man, and he was somebody that knew how to get water and to keep life flowing through his seed. And so, having had a lot of bad experiences with wells, I found out this well does not run dry. I found out that I need this well. I don't say these things for people to feel sorry, so I want to be just very clear about that. But we were really, really poor growing up. People poor now, and your kid's got an iPhone 15, you're in dingbat. And you're lucky, because I was going to use the I word, but I chose not to at the very last millipede of a second. I know that's not the proper terminology. That's not poor. Poor is when you like you literally have no food in the fridge and you have no money coming in and biscuits and gravy become the go-to meal. And I forgot what I was going to say again. Where was I going with that, Lord? Help me out here. Some people will rejoice in my absent-mindedness. Don't give them any joy, Lord. Oh, I know what it was. Thank you, Jesus. So because of that, to the best of my recollection, and Terry might argue with me, but she argues me about everything, so it doesn't even matter anymore. Just kidding. I'm just kidding. I recall we only got one drink at dinner time. And so I always save my beverage until the end. I don't want to expel all of it halfway through the meal. By the time you got done, you're dying of thirst. That might have just been me because I had a bedwetting problem. Now that I think about it, that might have just been me. That's the truth. I did for a very long time. And so I would save my beverage till the very end. Well, years after I moved out, after I got married, probably 15 years, I'm still drinking one drink per meal at the end. I didn't want to expel that. You know, I don't remember my point again. This is not a good day for me. I'm going to move on past it and I'll come back to it again because it's good. I think I know what it was. When I got in church, I found something. I didn't have to ration it. I didn't have to worry about drinking too much today, and next week I wouldn't have any more to drink. I found that well constantly replenishes itself. And I found that I could drink today, and boy, that tastes like the best drink. You ever drink a cup of water when you're just really parched and you're thirsty, and you're like, man, this is so much better than Pepsi and Coke and all that garbage. It tastes so good. And you get out of those services and you wonder, how can it be any better? But then you come back and God is just better. Why? Because there's just something about that water that the Bible teaches us about. Isaiah was trying to appeal, listen to me, he was trying to appeal to those that don't drink from that well. He was trying to say, what you drink out of this, it's not going to fulfill you, it's not going to satisfy you. And I will say this today with as much emphasis as I can, and there will still be people that will leave and they will never have a desire to drink from that well. And I can't control that. But I can control what my family did. And I know where we've come from, and I know what God has done, and I know it's because there's something in that water. I know because there's something there that you can't drink anywhere else, and it gives life. And when new life comes, new leaves grow, new plants come, and new things begin to happen, and that's what it looks like. Well, hey, there's no life when it's the same old, same old. And your problems are never fixed. You just push them off until the next day. And you fight today. Tomorrow's a good day. You fight the next day. The next day's a good day, and you fight for the next week, and the next half week's a good day. That's because there's no life. Your life is parched. There's nothing new flowing into you. But when something new begins to flow into you, it gives life and things begin to happen that did not once happen. You're not hearing what I'm saying to you. Some of you haven't not bought into this yet. You still are not convinced. Let me try to convince you that when my mom left this life, I knew where she was headed because she learned where to drink her water from. And I know some of you have the same stories, but today I'm just telling you the one that I know about, and I know what I know, and I know that there's something about that water. This well changes everything. Changes everything. Isaiah's words remind me that there are still many stories to be written about this water.
It reminds me that there's people out there and they want to drink. And because they don't know where to drink, they go to the bar. Isn't it funny? It doesn't matter how bad your economy is, how much money people say they don't have, they always got money for their booze. Isn't that interesting? I'm not being cruel. What I'm saying is they do that because they believe they need that. If I could convince you today that you need to drink from this well, if I could convince you, you might not see the fruit of it tomorrow, but if you keep drinking from it, if I could convince you that one day you're going to see new life will begin to grow, and I wish I could get one person that would say, I think I can see what you're saying. I think I can buy into this. I think I want to try this well. Don't just do it for a week or a month, but make it a part of your life. Isn't it
interesting?
Can you get ready to play for me, honey? Isn't it interesting that when you go to the doctors? You know what I can't stand about this world? I read a story this morning about Stefanski. I'm not a Browns fan, but and his analyst of the quarterbacks that they had in their game this past week, and they said that the internet was blowing up. People got nothing to do with their life but get online. It just drives me crazy. I mean, you talk about not having a life. I mean, these people, they come up with stuff that I'm like, oh, my God, I don't even know where you have time or get whatever. And they're just blasting him. Oh, he needs to be fired immediately. His body language was such. And it reminded me, everybody's a coach. They're just not all hired to be the coach. It reminds me. Hey, listen, I'm going to be honest with you. You do not want to be in the hospital with me visiting somebody, and the doctor comes in and you start correcting the doctor because I'm going to say something to you. I'm just telling you right now, there's nothing that drives me crazier than doctors without PhDs. You get what I'm saying? Well, I Googled it online. Listen, you can also Google your ordination. Doesn't make you a preacher. It doesn't mean you have experience. It doesn't mean that you've been down in the trenches working on these things. I got a lot of people quiet there right now because you all know that you're the Monday night, or you're actually the 32nd after the doctor speaks quarterback. Right. Well, I got a whole lot of people upset at me now. Man. It's truth though, Brenna. Now, I'm not saying all doctors are perfect. All preachers aren't perfect. I'm still the preacher at the end of the day, and you're not. They're still the doctor at the end of the day. They still have more hands-on experience than you do. I told somebody once, I said, oh, God. I can't go there because I'll really get the people upset at me. I'm going to go there. If you're a home health aide, you're not a nurse, all right? Well, I got real quiet. You might have experience in the field that you operate in. What am I trying to say to you? What I'm trying to say to you is, hear this preacher that's been on the battlefield for 23 years now in this church. I've watched every family you can imagine come and go. I've watched people you never thought would walk away from God walk away. I've watched people you never thought would come to the Lord come. I've watched God do miracles in people's lives. We have seen things disappear. We have seen tumors disappear. We have seen bodies heal. We have seen broken bones healed. We've witnessed. What I'm saying is, don't be a Monday night quarterback. Just listen for one time to this preacher this morning. I am telling you from my own journey and my experience, there's something about this water that God presents to us that you cannot find in this life. And if you will come and you will keep drinking from this water, you are going to see your life transformed and changed, and your children's lives will change, and you're going to see God do things that you never thought could happen. Now, to show you how real God is, I wish you'd be man enough or woman enough to stand up right now. I just heard somebody say this to me. No, don't stand. Don't stand. No, that was... you misread that. Somebody said, When I said that, they said, well, I know a whole lot of people in the church that got problems. Anybody willing to be honest enough to say, yep, that was me? I'd love for you to stand up. God lets you hear things in the spirit. Listen, yes, there's all kind of people in the church that got problems. I know. I deal with it every day. It drives me crazy sometimes. We didn't say your life will be perfect. We didn't say that everybody would do it all right. We didn't say that people wouldn't make mistakes. We didn't say that people wouldn't fall. But what we did say is if you keep going back to this well and drinking, what we did say is you will have life and life more abundantly. That's what we said. So he goes on. I got two more scriptures. Verse 6 of Isaiah. You got the chapter still, 55. He says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Now listen, it doesn't get any better than that. I'm not going to read any more in that text, just so you know. I'm not going to read verse 8 and verse 9. Seek the Lord while he may be found. That tells us that there's a season, there's a time and a season where the Lord is closer than ever before. Mm-hmm. Sometimes this church and people's worship, they get the Spirit of the Lord moving. And when he does, sometimes that's the right time to jump in the water. That's the right time to drink from the well. Why? Because others have already done the heavy lifting for you behind the scenes. They've gotten some of the junk of the thinking and dark spirits and things that we wrestle with every day. They've gotten it all out of the way. Seek him while he be found, he may be found, and call upon him while he's near. And let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Sometimes you got to run from who you are. You say, are you calling me wicked? Probably. Yeah. Well, I'm going to answer you honestly. And without the Lord, you're wicked. I'm wicked. There's nothing good inside of me. He is the only good that there ever will be. He makes all things new. Yes, he does. He takes a broken vessel that has no hope and no future, and he puts life inside of you, and he gives you a new vision. He puts you on a new path. He gives you new hope, and he takes your life in a whole different direction. Yes, he does. My last text, John chapter 4, verse 9. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it thou, being a Jew, askest to drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. This scripture bothers me. I'm going to tell you why. It bothers me because I feel the spirit of our day in this text. And I'm going to tell you what I mean. This woman knew exactly who she was. She was a Samaritan. The Samaritans and the Jews had no interaction whatsoever. The Samaritans were considered the low class. You know, they were, you know, well, you got the point. And so she was bewildered when Jesus began to talk to her. And she says, how are you? I don't understand why you're talking to me here. I'm not worthy to be talked to. Now, here's why it bothers me. Because we're taught today that no matter what, you're still a good person. That's not true. That's not true. There's some people that have good in them, but they're ugly people with an ugly spirit. And they're mean and they're nasty. And that's not all their fault. Sometimes it's because of life's experiences. What I'm saying to you is sometimes you got to sit there and you got to say, I don't understand why, Lord. You don't justify who you are. Don't justify your actions. Don't say, well, I'm not a sinner. You are a sinner. We are all sinners. We're all born in sin and shape and iniquity. And there is no good in us. It's okay to be honest with God. And the Samaritan woman was honest with Jesus when she said,
sat with him by the well. She didn't try and say, oh, you better than me because you're Jesus. Oh, what makes you better? You're holier than thou. I told the church last week, next time someone says that to you, say, yes, I am. I look at your life and I look at my life and I'm not perfect, but I'm telling you right now, I'm at the altar every week and I don't even know if you know how to spell altar. I am holier than you. I'm not holy, but I'm holier than you are. That's why you start answering people. That's all right. Bella, you can take pride in your decisions. I know you. You have a great spirit. You have a great attitude. You do. And you probably beat yourself up a lot. Most good people do. But I'll tell you this. If someone said, well, are you holier than thou because you dedicated my child? I'll say, yes, I am. I mean, knock their side. They won't expect it. Like, yeah. I see Frank and Susan sitting in the back. Broke my heart when Susan called this week. Her and my mom worked together for so long. And they did so much for the kingdom of God together. I know Susan and Frank, and I can tell you right now, if you ask them to grade themselves, they'd probably grade themselves like a C minus or maybe a D plus because I know how they look. But guess what? I'm not saying you are C minus or D, but what I'm telling you is you are holier than a lot of others. You are holier than some vows, and you should take pride in that. Not that you're better, but yes, because I want to be holy as he is holy, according to the scripture tells me. And I am trying to draw closer to him. And when I am running dry and I am spiritually parched, I know where the well is and I know what water's good and what water isn't. And I'm going back to the water and I'm going to drink from it. So, sorry for my honesty. And so she said, I don't understand why you're talking to me. And Jesus said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldst have asked of him and he would have given thee living water. I feel that today. I feel there are people really knew who I was talking about. I wouldn't need to convince you. You'd say, give me something to drink. Give me some of that to drink. And the woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with. The well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? You see, it's always the unfortunate viewpoint of humanity that it's just too far to reach. It's just too deep. It's just not possible. It's just a little bit out of reach. But I am here to tell you, listen to me, I'm the preacher and you're not. You might have a knowledge of the word of God and you may love the Lord and that's all good, but let me do my job this morning. There is nobody that's too far gone that God can't touch. There is nobody that's done any offense or act from God that he cannot forgive. There's nobody that Jesus will not reach more from to the very ends of the earth if they desire it. And I'm here to tell you today, there's something in the water that if you will drink from it, Isaiah made that invitation knowing full well it will change your life.
Listen, I'm going to say this. And I'm going to say this because I know Iveta lost her husband recently. And I know that little Laura has dementia. Her days are probably numbered. And there are others here that you've lost people. And that question, my sister called me up and asked me the very same question. I understand. Listen to me. I don't need to ask the question why. I already told you the Lord spoke to me a couple weeks ago. I already knew my mom was going to pass. I told my wife she was going to. I didn't talk it because I want people to think I'm being negative. I knew what God had shown me. But the Lord also told me, he said, if my hour had come, why wouldn't hers? Jesus died. We all have to leave this life. But listen, here's what matters. What matters is before you leave this life, did you make it to the water? That's all that really matters. That's all that really matters. It doesn't matter how horrible of a person you think you were. Did you make it to the water? Because there's something in the water. There's life in that water. That's why Isaiah made the invitation. There's something powerful in the water. And the water has a way of cleansing. And it has a way of healing. And it has a way of touching the mind and the body and the soul. It has a way of causing you to forget your turmoil and your troubles. The water. There's something in the water.
And I'm here to tell you today that all wells are not the same. They do not produce the same water. Some wells produce stinky water. Some wells produce iron-filled water. Some wells produce salty water. But there's something about this well that we drink from. It's different. And Jesus said, he who drinks from this well will never thirst again. You never thirst again. You will have found what you're looking for. It will have all come to fruition. Just keep drinking from this well.
Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. See, when you drink from this well, something happens. You then become the well. When you drink from this water, that's why the Bible says, put up John chapter 30, chapter 7, verse 37 for me, and we're going to read three verses. I'm finishing. John chapter 7, verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. You see, the scripture is always referencing thirst and drink. Thirst and drink. Why? Because when you go through this life empty, angry, frustrated, bitter, broken, wounded, maimed, scarred, betrayed, lied to, deceived, everything else. There's nothing this life has to offer that can heal that. Except, it's like on a good hot day, drinking a nice cool glass of water when you're really parched. You take that drink, and it's just like, oh my gosh, it's so good. It's so good. He cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Next verse. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now pause before you go to the next verse. Hold on. So when we truly believe, something happens to us. Something happens. Something inside. There used to be an old song we used to sing, and I can't remember. There's like pieces of the words. Working on the inside. How's that go? Working on the outside. Come on, you should know. Come on, Brother Klein. I got Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. I got Jesus on the inside. I can't sing that. Working on the outside. Oh, what a... That's what happens. So now you drink from this water, and now it begins to spring up inside of you. And what was he referring to when he said there shall flow rivers of living water? What was he referring to? Next verse. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe should receive. Every believer should be filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking with other tongues, eventually in your walk with God. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. The Holy Ghost couldn't be poured out while Jesus was still here. Why is that? Well, I'll save that for another day. The point is, when you drink from this well, something inside begins to reproduce. And as you begin to speak now you'll speak into other people's lives. And you're not just speaking doctrine. You're not just speaking Bible, but now you begin to speak life. There's all kinds of Bible. The scripture's all over the world. There's Bibles everywhere, and I thank God for it, and I wouldn't change a thing. But we need life. And we know the word produces life, but the word produces life when we speak the word and we speak truth.
And then we give people clarity, we give them understanding, and through the word we understand today. And I didn't touch a fraction of the scriptures. If you're thirsty, if you're parched, if you're dry, if you're broken, if you're empty, if you're lonely, whatever else it might be, there's water here for you to drink from. Stand with me if you would, because I'm dragging this out too long. I do think, as I always say, and I believe what is transpiring in the natural has already begun in the spiritual. If you would have asked our grandparents to go buy water, they'd probably slap you. I'm just telling you the truth. Why? We'll go down to the spring and get it. I agree with that. I really believe that we're almost so convinced that we need water that now people are buying it. But they don't understand this isn't the water you're looking for. Yeah, you need it, but this isn't really what you're looking for. I'm telling you, there's a crying out in our world today to drink. There's a cry in the hearts of people. I'm parched. I'm dry. I need something. I need something. I shut my thing. I need something. This is where I close. I was that person. And I remember when I was praying for the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I said, I wanted it. I needed it. God, I've been dry most of my life. I need you to do a new thing in me. And I was working a second shift job, and so I could not go to church. And revival came around, and I was convinced revival coming, and I'm getting the Holy Ghost. And so I quit my job after the second day. I said, I'm going to church. Listen, it was more important for me to drink than it was to get a paycheck. I'm just saying, why do you spend your money? Put Isaiah chapter 55, put that verse up for us again. Those are off. That's all right, as long as I can read it. Next verse, verse 2. Why do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? You see, I was at that place, 18, 19 years old. I thought, this job ain't satisfying me. I want to go to church. I want to be in the house of God. I want God to fill me with the Holy Ghost. But this spake he of the Spirit, that they which should believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. I'm sorry, I have a hard time closing these kind of messages. So I'll close it this way. If you would love to drink, I would love for you to just come to the front and stand. That's all you got to do. You don't have to be important, be special. All you got to do is say, God, I'm thirsty. I'm thirsty. My life has been dry for a long time. There's no shame in that whatsoever. The Samaritan woman sat there by the well. She stood there. And she said, I don't understand why you're talking to me. We're not supposed to be talking. But Jesus was teaching her that there are no barriers. There's no lesser. There's no greater. Not in the eyes of God. We're all on the same playing field. Lord Jesus, we can do only what we can do, and you have to do the rest. I know there are people here today. They've come because they want to drink. They've come because they thirst in their spirit. Lord, I pray that you would satisfy the soul today. Jesus, we need you to satisfy our weary and our dry soul. It may be those who have served God for years, but sometimes, Lord, we got to go back to the well. Thank you, Isaac, for teaching us. Don't try and dig a new well. Go to the old well.
Go to the old well,
because there's water there. I'm here to tell you today, if you lift your hands toward the Lord, I'm here to just tell you that there's water in this well. There's water. You'll find something that will quench your thirst that you never imagined. Jesus, Lord, I pray, do it now, oh gracious God. Let your glory begin to flood over this place. Let your joy, I pray, begin to flood over this place. God, give us something to reach for. Sing for me. Give us something to reach for, oh God. Give us something to reach for. It's kind of like a hot summer day. When you dip your toe in the water, you say, oh, that feels good. It feels good. It's good being in the presence of God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Come on, let's just cry out to Him. That's all. Just cry out to Him. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah.
And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Oh, everyone that thirsteth, come to the waters. Keep singing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
You have led me through the fire and darkness.
Hallelujah,
night.
Jesus.
You are close like no other.
Thank you, Lord.
I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. And I will live in the goodness of God.
If you got family beside you, grab their hand. I just want to stick with family today. If you got friends beside you you're comfortable with, grab their hand. But if your family, just some people might not be comfortable, so we want to respect that. Come on. Just call unto the Lord. Just call unto the Lord. Hallelujah.
With every breath that I am able,
thank you, Jesus.
I will sing of the goodness of God.
Yes, Jesus.
All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able,
oh, I will sing of the good of God.
Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me.
Come on, just let your heart flow away with the presence of the Lord this morning.
It's running after me.
Receive from Him all of His goodness.
Your goodness is running.
Hallelujah.
After, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me.
Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after. It's running after me. Your goodness is running after. It's running after me. Your goodness is running after. It's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after. It's running after me. Your goodness is running after. It's running after me. Your goodness is running after. It's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after. It's running after me.
All my life. Can we have, go ahead, keep singing softly. Can we have every eye closed? Would you please do that? Every eye closed, every head bowed. Lord, I want these people to believe, God, in that river of living water. I want every person to experience it. Lord, I pray that when we leave this place today, we will feel, Lord, as if we have already dipped, God, in that river. Lord, we will feel refreshed, renewed. I speak now against every spirit of confusion. I bind every spirit that tries to confuse us, God. Lord, with thoughts going through our minds, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, that we will exchange that spirit of heaviness, God, for a garment of praise. Lord, I ask you to go with us. I ask you, gracious God, Lord, to teach us to keep going back to the well over and over and over again, and don't settle for substitutes in this life. Don't settle, God, for manufactured water. Don't settle, God, for stale water or water with algae in it, God. Water that smells, water that has a foul taste, God, that we would believe in those rivers of living water, that we would believe in the water that Isaiah spoke about. Jesus, let him who is thirsty come. Come, come, Lord, come to that river, come to that water. Oh, refresh our soul. I proclaim it now, God, for somebody that's not able to for themselves this morning. I pray, let an angel go with every single person in this building today when they leave this building for the remainder of this day, God, that they would feel your goodness, that they would feel your joy, they would feel the peace of God that comes when we drink of the well of living water. Lord, I proclaim that, God, because you have given me that authority, an angel to go with every single person throughout this day, Lord Jesus, that they will know and be reminded that they have drunk from that well today, that river of living water. It gives life more abundantly. I'm all right to be a Samaritan because I know you tore down the walls of partition that's between us. Oh, Jesus, and you let me drink too from that well. I love you. If you would keep your eyes closed, they're gonna sing one more song and just let it be with you and the Lord for a few more minutes. Hallelujah.
And every man will bow down.
just want to be with you. We just want to be with you. Just want to be with you.
Yes, the world will bow down and say you are God. And every man will bow down and say you are King. So let's start.
Pray.
just want to be with you. We just want to be with you. Want to be with you. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Let's lift our hands and let's lift our voices just one more time. God, we're so thankful for the word that we heard today. God, that we would return back to the wells that we know that work. God, that we would turn to you, Lord, in our time of need, in our time of understanding, in our time, Lord, where we need something. God, I pray, Lord, that we would lean upon you, because that well still works. I pray, God, that you give us strength through the rest of this week, through the rest of this year. God, give us strength, give us wisdom, give us understanding in your word, and God, help us reach the lost. Give us the words to say when we need them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed in Jesus' name. There are those that are still praying, so let's allow them to keep praying and be mindful.